Dinner and a show. How many of you have been to dinner and a show? Let me see your hands. All right. This year is going to blow your mind. I'm just telling you right now. And super excited about this year. Lots of surprises coming. I'm in the know with all these things. So anyway, buy your tickets. You can get them. Today's the first, right? Right? First. That means today. That means today. You can buy your ticket today. So very, very awesome. Hey, many of you know that this last week, an incredible servant of the Lord of this church passed away. Now, it might be a surprise for some of you, and so don't want to shock you if you don't know anything, but Lois Rosmarin, she passed away this last week, and Lois served in this church in several areas over the years, but when I first came here 17 years ago, there was this incredible VBS in the summer. I mean, it seemed like the whole church was involved. There was hundreds of kids. Lois was organizing the whole thing, and she was in charge of children's ministries for quite a while. And when I think of Lois, I think of passion. She just had a passion for God and a passion for ministry. Those of you who know her, say amen. Amen. And she was just an incredible person. And the last several years, she worked with senior women with the Chapter 2 ministry. And if you are online and you are at home and you experienced this ministry and you had life with Lois, just be blessed where you are and know that Lois walked from this life to the next. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, yeah. She's doing a happy dance as we talk. So I am sure that when she walked through whatever that's like and walked through and was met by the Lord, that he said, well done. Well done. So we are going to have a service, the family is, and all I know about it right now, I have just recently heard that it's probably looking like August 17th, okay? That's a Tuesday. We're going to have kids' day camp here that week, so we're going to do it in the evening. Not sure of the time yet, so 6 or 6:30, something like that, but we'll let you know as soon as we know for sure. So, so just pray for Lois's family and, awesome woman of God. And, I think of words. I think of words from the Lord, and what greater words could be said than well done by the Lord to us. And that's what we want to talk about today is words. And we want to talk about the power of those words. So would you just pray for me quick here? Lord, we just love you today. Lord, through it all, through the things we don't understand, through the joys of it all, Lord God, we just ask, Lord, you be with us in these next moments. Let the Word of God just settle into our spirits, Lord, as we read, as we kind of dig into it. And Lord, help it to, Lord, just apply to our spirit and our life and our heart. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody say it. Amen. Okay, we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs, so we're going to have several different Proverbs up on the screen. And but when I think of words, I think of some of the first words that really meant something to me. And I've spoken of my father often, especially because he passed away several years ago. And so, as every family has situations and difficulties, mine was no different. But I remember when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I can remember that far back. I'm not kidding. And my dad was a country western singer, and he played the guitar, and he was quite good. And I remember I was standing in our living room. I remember exactly where I was standing, and I wanted to play the guitar, okay? And So I was expressing this, and my parents had started to, probably my mother had started to look into a teacher, so I was going to go to a teacher. And I remember this distinctly, because my dad, until later in life, he wouldn't say, "Good job, Roger." He wouldn't say, and don't feel sorry for me, because I love my dad, and he wasn't raised that way, I get it. His dad was a farmer from Kansas and just rough and tough, and that just wasn't how he was raised. And so he didn't say, you know, "Good job" or encouragement or anything, but I heard him say to my mother, "I think Roger's going to be good at this." And then my mother, being who she is, she said, "Don't put those kinds of expectations on Roger." That's my mom. She's always looking out for you. And my dad said, "Well, I just think he is." And I heard that loud and clear. And I'm not exaggerating when I say, you don't know how many times I thought of that over the years. He never told me that again. But I remembered it. And I don't care how sore my fingers got. I don't care what goofy songs I had to learn from Mrs. Brownlee, who was in her 80s. I never thought of quitting, ever. I just kept remembering, my dad thinks I'm going to be good at this. That's the power of words. And we're going to talk about that today. The power of words. Words can literally change the course of someone's life. They really can. And it can change them for both good and bad. We want to be on the right side of that. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, so we're going to look at Proverbs 16:24. This is where we're going to begin. And we're going to grab a few proverbs that talk about words, okay? And it's a great place to look for it. There's many more, but we're just going to grab a few today. Proverbs 16:24, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Now, being gracious is all about being kind, okay? And I love that word, kind. My wife, she gets, I wouldn't say annoyed, I would say she shakes her head. But I don't know what it is. When I run into somebody, whether it's at the gas station, the grocery store, another store, or wherever it is out in the community, and somebody's really nice, I always say, "I like nice people." Or I might even say to that person, I've done it several times. I remember talking to somebody on the phone. You know how many times you talk to some of these companies, a lot of the times you can't really understand what they say or whatever, and it can just be frustrating. And I can just remember a lady who was just so nice, super nice, and answered every question I had, wanted to know if I had any more questions, blah, blah, blah. At the very end, I said, "Thank you for your kindness." And she said, "Oh, well, thank you." I mean, I kind of shocked her, I will have to say. I like nice people. I just do. But I think we all do, right? Yeah, we all like nice people. Gracious words. The word honeycomb is used, okay? Let's find out a little bit about a honeycomb. Here we go. Not that I'm a honeycomb expert by any stretch of the imagination. Does anybody here do bees? Anybody in this place? No bees. Well, maybe we need a beekeeper around here. All right. Honeycomb is a natural bee product consisting of waxy hexagonal, yes, that's how you pronounce that, cells which contain raw honey. Honey and its comb are edible and offer numerous health benefits such as fighting infections and improving heart health. Honeycomb may also boost the liver function and serve as a sugar alternative for people with diabetes. So honeycomb is great, okay? So when someone uses gracious words, aren't they sweet to the soul? Somebody uses really good words, you know, encouraging words, healing to the bones like a honeycomb. It's just a good thing. So let's be gracious with our words. Let's look at the next one. All right. A gentle answer turns away wrath from Proverbs 15:1, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So tender and considerate responses, you know, that's a good thing. It can sort of pacify a situation. It can kind of put a stop to somebody who's angry. It causes anger to kind of lose its steam a lot of the time. But when we answer harshly to someone, it can cause that person to also rise up with anger. You know what I'm talking about? When you answer harshly back to someone, it can make them really mad. Okay? Well, we don't want to do that. I've done that in my life. It never has a good ending. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But I'd like to give you just a little bit of advice from somebody who's done this many times, got sick of doing it, got sick of making people upset because I would answer kind of, with a little bit of angst, I guess. So number one, next time somebody says something rude to you, let's put it on the screen. Everybody say it together. Take a deep breath. One more time. Take a deep breath. So somebody says something rude, your emotions start to rise up, and you go, why would you say something like that to me? You just take a nice breath. Whew. Okay, that's a good thing. Number two, everybody say it with me. Ask the Lord to help you. You know, you can do that really quick. You don't even have to say it out loud. You can just say it in your mind, Lord, help me. I feel myself getting a little angry. Number three, here we go. Think about your response. Think before you speak. We're going to talk about that in a minute, okay? And number four, answer kindly and with grace. Now, this isn't so easy when somebody says something that upsets you or is rude. But I just got to tell you, you're going to be glad you did later. And this just happened to me a couple days ago. And I have to say, I had to not only take a deep breath, I had to take a few swallows. And I did it, though. I did it. And I answered in kind. In a kind response, and then I didn't have to later apologize. So, yeah, simple stuff. So remember, a harsh word stirs up anger, and that's not what we want, when a gentle answer will diffuse most situations. So let's look at another one. Proverbs 12. Words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So the words of the reckless, they're rash. They are thoughtless, hasty, careless. They tend to hurt other people. They pierce their heart like a sharp sword, the Bible says. Have you ever been hurt by what somebody says? A text that was written, maybe a post on Facebook or a tweet. I don't know how many of you do that, but things that people say. It literally can hurt your heart when somebody really says something painful. So we need to be people who speak with wisdom. We speak with seasoned words, words that heal, words that aren't necessarily the word of God. When I say that, it doesn't mean that you have to quote scripture. There's certainly times for that. But words that are based on scripture, okay? So you're not necessarily just shooting scripture at somebody, but you're saying words that are based on it, okay? And they're words of peace. And on the flip side, have you ever had somebody speak wise words to you that stayed with you? And maybe I say that, and something comes to mind that somebody said to you in your life, like my father, that was an encouragement to you, or maybe wise in a situation that was going to be tough for you. I can remember lots of times people saying things to me. I want to share one, and my friend Dave, and Dave watches our live streams many times, and Dave Carter is his name, and Dave was the best man at my wedding. He was in my band when I had it years ago, and Dave always was a person who kept me on the straight and narrow back when I was wild and crazy and doing all kinds of crazy things. Dave was the guy that would oftentimes help me and steer me clear of bad situations. And so I had a hero for a while, and his name was Jim Morrison. Anybody hear Jim Morrison? Of the Doors. Jim Morrison was a singer in a band called The Doors, and he, for some reason, I really was getting into him and what he did. And I was going down a terrible path, and Dave pulled me aside, and he said, "Raj," and I remember it exactly, he said, "Raj, you got the wrong hero." He goes, "Jim Morrison was a rude person, was a mean person. He was always doing as many drugs as he could. He was getting drunk as much as he could. Every time he the band would play, he'd just be out of it completely. He got arrested several times while singing for things he would do. And Jim Morrison died of a heroin overdose when he was 27 years old. And Dave says, "You got the wrong hero." And I don't know why, but it just shook me up. And I said, "You're right. I got the wrong hero, because it's sure not working out for me." Because I had tried many of the things Jim Morrison did, and it never turned out well. And so I took Dave's advice, began to back away from that life. And that was sort of the beginning where I started to turn my head around a little bit. I actually wrote a song called Time for a Change at the time. And it was kind of about turning away from some of the stuff, but I wasn't a Christian yet. All right, and that was wise counsel from Dave, and it eventually brought healing to my life. Okay, let's look at another one. Proverbs 18:21. "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Okay. This is how important the subject of words is today. It has the power of life, and it has the power of death. And this is true. It really is true. In the first chapter of Genesis, God spoke the world into being by the power of his words. Words of life. That's where life comes from. God spoke it into existence. And those words from the Lord are always going to build people up. It's going to bring life. Look at Ephesians 4:29. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? For building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." And Jesus reminds us that the words we speak are actually the overflow of our heart. Okay? So when somebody becomes a Christian, there's an expectancy that a change of speech is going to follow, because Christ has come into their life and into their heart, which should overflow with a change in how we talk. I remember that very distinctly, and I was convicted the first time I started to use some words that I always used, that some of you might recognize today, that I'm not going to say today. My speech quickly changed. I'm not saying it was perfect by any imagination, but it changed because of the overflow of the heart. Our words are full of blessing when our heart is full of blessing. And if we fill our hearts with the love of Christ, only truth and purity can come out of our mouths. So put good stuff in, guys. Put the Word of God in. Love God. Have the Holy Spirit in your life and in your heart, and it's going to come out in the way you speak. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Okay, good. What you say to someone can hold real power, and it can make an absolute difference in their life. I'm going to say that a few times. It will make a difference. Are we using words to build people up or to destroy them? Are they filled with hate or love? bitterness or blessing, complaining or compliments, victory or defeat. They can be used to help us reach our goals, words, but they can also be used to bring us into depression. See, that's the power of words. We must determine that we're going to speak life. We personally are going to speak life. Now let's look at another one. Proverbs 21, 23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. All right, have you ever said something you shouldn't have? Yeah. Time or two. You know, sometimes it's out of emotion. Just sometimes you just say the wrong thing. And you don't mean to. You think it's something else, and what comes out isn't the right thing, right? And then you did that, and then, as I mentioned earlier, you had to ask for forgiveness, okay? Because you just said the wrong thing, and for whatever reason. And as I said before, I got really tired of having to go back and ask forgiveness. This was early in my Christian life. And I just found that, I mean, I'm a passionate guy, and it's like, especially when somebody else was kind of, I felt like I had to defend them, and then I would get kind of riled up, and I might be in a meeting or something, and I'd just spout off something, and it never went well. I'd always have to go back later and ask forgiveness, and I'd think, why did I do that? Why in the world did I just let that come out, okay? I could have kept myself from trouble, which is calamity, okay? Let's look at Ecclesiastes 5:2. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. It's so interesting to me. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be, how many? Few. Let your words be few. Now that's harder for some of us than others. But you know, God knows everything. He knows the big picture. I like to use this illustration that if there was a parade, we're standing on the ground and we see a part of the parade that comes past us, right? And if you can pretend that that's life, we see where we are as it comes walking by. But God is up above the parade, and God can see the beginning and the end. He knows how long it is. He knows what's coming up. He knows everything. So we know so little. God knows so much. We need to think about what we say before we say it. Okay? Yeah. So let's look at another one. Proverbs 11, 12. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense. I love this. But the one who has understanding holds their tongue. And here's one kind of similar. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. To answer before listening. So basically these scriptures say that you are a fool if you don't listen to what people have to say. And you answer before they're finished, okay? So I think listening is a really good word. Listen. We want to listen. And it's not that, you know, we don't always know everything. And you don't have to know everything to talk about something. That's okay. If you don't know what you're talking about, just kind of pull it back a little, okay? And let's have the conversation. Sometimes you can find things out from another person. Sometimes I'm a verbal processor. So when I'm talking to someone, I can make decisions that way. All of a sudden, everything kind of lines up in my head, but I need to listen and have conversation. So that's good. That's a good thing. But the crucial word is to listen to what other people say. Now, why do you think people pay thousands of dollars to go to counselors, psychiatrists? What do you think a lot of what they do is? They listen. They listen, okay? Now, I know some wonderful counselors, psychiatrists, whatever, psychoanalysts, whatever they're called, and they have different jobs, but a lot of what they do is listen. And it's so, so, so important that we do that, is to listen. Now, we've discussed words a little and the power of words. I shared a bit of what my father has said to me, and I have more examples than that where I heard him say something to someone else, and it was a good thing about me. That happened several times in my life, and boy, I tell you, I never missed it. But how about our Heavenly Father? What does He say? What has He said about us? We're going to look at just a few of those really quick. First thing is, we are highly valued by God. Luke 12:7 says, "Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." Jesus said that. Jesus said that. That means God knows every single thing about you. He knows every single thing that you do, and He loves you anyway. Not only loves you, you're valued. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a second, but you're highly valued, okay? The second thing is, God said that we are His children. I don't know what your story is in your life, but the biggest reality is that if you come to Christ and you ask Him to come into your life, forgive you of what you've done, and say, "God, I just want to know You. I've made a mess of things." And He comes to live inside of you. That's what He does. It's a miracle. He does that. Then you're His child, the Word says. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called, words, children of God." And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. So if you know Christ, you are a child of God. It's a literal reality, okay? It's an awesome thing that no matter what you go through, you're His child. You're His child. And that means a whole lot to a whole lot of people. Number three, He loves us unconditionally and sent His Son to die that we might live with Him. All right, 1 John 4:10 says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So God thinks so much of you that He sent His Son to die for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, He loves you incredibly. So much so, He didn't just kind of stand back and throw a few blessings your way or try to turn you around. He sent His Son to die on a cross for you. How great is that? That's how much God thinks about you. He thinks so much of you. I love this last one. This meant so much to me when I was saved, is that He chose us. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us." Everybody say chose. Chose me. Chose me. 1, 2, 3. Chose me. He chose you. Okay? He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, before the world was ever created. He chose you to be holy and blameless in His sight. Do you ever have low self-esteem? Have you ever struggled with that? I think most people struggle a little bit with that. Some people, it comes out in that they're real cocky, but they're really, it comes out and that's how they express it, but really down deep, they don't think much of themselves. Sometimes it's the other way around, you know. Low self-esteem. When you read this scripture, it should put that to rest, knowing that you've been chosen. I want to read something to you. Many of you might remember this song. I'm not going to read the whole lyrics of this song. I remember when it came out, I think I was in junior high, 7th, 8th grade, something like that. And I remember the song distinctly. And it's a song called 17. And it's a song written and sung by Janice Ian. And it's a very intense song. It's a sad song, but I wanted to read some of it to you. She says, I learned the truth at 17, that love was meant for beauty queens and high school girls with clear-skinned smiles who married young and then retired. The Valentines I never knew, the Friday night charades of youth, were spent on one more beautiful. At 17, I learned the truth. To those of us who knew the pain of Valentines that never came, and those whose names were never called when choosing sides for basketball, it was long ago and far away. The world was younger than today, when dreams were all they gave for free to ugly duckling girls like me. Isn't that sad? That's a sad song. And I remember it very, very well. It's a picture of low self-esteem and low self-worth. And many, many people related to it. Millions of people related to this song. And I just want to ask you a question, if you remember, because I do. I became pretty good at sports later in life, but when I was a kid, I was little, and but I liked sports, and I wanted to be good, but I was just little. And so they would choose sides for basketball. And, you know, I loved basketball, but I was little. And I wasn't that good. And I remember they would pick two people who were really good. Anybody remember this? And they'd pick sides, choosing everybody. And I can remember, you didn't get picked last. You just were last. You didn't get chosen at all. You were the last one. Anybody experienced that in their life? That's really a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. I'm really kind of a guy that really wants people to stand up on their feet, and I want to help them to, you know, pull up their bootstraps and, you know, get going. But I tell you, I've experienced this, and it's not good. It's not good, and I can remember crying after this. And so the words to this song, they always struck me, even though it was a girl talking about herself. But it always struck me as it's anybody that goes through something like that. Well, let me let you in on a secret. It's really not that much of a secret if you've been a Christian for very long. You were not a random act. In fact, you've been specifically chosen. If there was a team, now, I don't know how this all works. This illustration sort of breaks down a little bit, but I'll just tell you, you'd have been the first one picked that you could think of. Well, how about the rest of them? Well, but that's what God thinks of you. He chose you, the Bible says. That means that it wasn't just this wide thing where Christ sent his son to die for the world. No, he makes it so personal that he chose you. He looked at you, and you might think, well, what have I got? I've never been good at sports, or I was never great at anything, or I'm not that great a person, whatever it is. Well, God thinks you are. I don't know. No, he does. He thinks you are awesome. And you know, if you have Christ living in you, wow, man, you got it made. In a sense, you got it made because you're going to heaven. Now he wants you know, we need to live for him for sure. And there's a whole lot more that goes beyond that, but he chose you. What an amazing concept. He loves you that much that he looked around and he said, you know what? I like you. I not only like you, I love you. And I want you to live with me forever. Isn't that cool? That's really cool. If I can get the worship team to come up, that'd be great. All right, I'm just going to say a few more words to you because these words are so great. I'm just going to rattle them off, okay? Here we go. Nothing is impossible with God, Luke 1:37. fear not, for I am with you. Isaiah 41, 10, what great words. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Isaiah 43, 2. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. John 14, 27. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their what? Their strength. Are you weak today? Do you feel weak? My body 2 days ago was, I don't even know why, it's probably living on this crazy farm. But I'm like working, and all of a sudden my ribs hurt, my stomach hurts, my back hurts. Well, I have strength today. Praise God. But God does even more than that. He restores from the inside out. We renew their strength. What great words. The Lord God is a sun and shield. Psalm 84, 11. He shines light on us. He protects us. Okay, a sun and shield. And one more. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. The power of words. The power of godly words. And what a difference you can make in somebody else's life. Even just every day deciding, I'm going to encourage somebody I run into today, one person at least, I'm going to say something that you mean, okay? And you're going to encourage that someone. If you don't know Jesus personally today, you know, he did die for you too. And he's chosen you today. He looks at you wherever you are. If you're online, he's chosen you. Many of you probably know it, but there might be a few watching that don't know that. That God has chosen you, and he wants you to know him personally. Personally. All right, real quick. Everybody bow their heads real quickly with me here. And I just want to ask, if there's anybody here, you don't know Jesus. You feel like, maybe you grew up in church, maybe you didn't, but you would sure like to know him. I just want you to raise your hand right where you are. If you'd like to know him, nobody looking around. And if somebody's online, maybe that's you. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and I just want you to say the words after me, if everybody could. Dear Jesus, I want to know you. I've done wrong things in my life, and I don't have any answers, but I commit my life to you because you have the answers and you love me. I don't know what that's like, but I want to know. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you'd never prayed it before, you meant it, then you're going to start, you right now are starting a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's the greatest thing. It's the greatest thing. Jesus isn't a religion. He's not a religion. He's a relationship. He's real. And I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for you. Let's all stand up. We're going to sing one more song. Actually, we're going to close with another song, but this is a wonderful tune. So listen, everybody. The power of words. God has said some wonderful things about you and your future. So let's, in turn, speak words of life, speak words of blessing. And you know, if you do that, you're going to make a difference. You may not even know very many people. You start speaking life to people. And I don't mean fake compliments. I just mean appreciation. Somebody does something well. You say, hey, that was a good job. You really did a good job there. You might even say God loves you, because it's the truth. You can make a difference with the power of your words.